Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. Welcome to this Business Day Spotlight special report. Earlier this week, high-yielding platforms Uber and Bolt saw drivers taken to the streets to protest working conditions and to demand regulation of the industry. We spoke to spokesperson for the drivers, Vatuka Mbelengwe, to get a sense from their side about what it is they want, what they expect, and the engagements that they're having with the two companies. Here's what he had to say. Why drivers have decided to take up arms? We've just heard, you know, during the day that it's about, you know, highlighting, you know, conditions, pay, that sort of thing. So we just wanted to get it from you.
All right. So in essence, really, we are striking to simply say we need to start to see some sort of protection for the domestic investment into this industry. We've got billions running through, but drivers are getting more poorer and are finding themselves more in financially strained situations. So we're struggling to understand how can a business have such high volumes of money running through it, but drivers are just getting poorer and poorer. There's something wrong from a managerial perspective on what's happening within industry.
Yeah.
So I think what people fail to understand really is the pipeline of this industry, right? There is one, the app, which is essentially the point of interaction between rider and the driver. And then there is the vehicles and skills that administer these services. This is where the bulk of the investment sits, and this is where we speak from. This is the communication stance we are communicating from, because we are the investors, we are the skills providers in this space. So if we're going to have a healthy shared economy, we must really then begin to seek out solutions that allow for us to be well represented. We must see shared development, we must see shared profits, we must see shared responsibility. Now, when we speak of shared responsibility, what we're simply saying is that we believe that it also falls upon us to bring about a safe industry. But we can't bring about a safe industry if we don't have a properly effective app partner. Now, it's often asked of us, what's happening? Why are people being assaulted and raped and robbed in your vehicles? And this is something that we feel as drivers reflects badly upon us as well, and we want this thing stopped. So in many situations whereby somebody's assaulted in a Bolt vehicle, and that person later on gets a new phone and tries to make follow-up inquiries with Bolt, Bolt will turn around and provide the answer that no, they don't have this driver on the platform, which then begs the question, how did that driver get the request? You understand?
Yeah.
And when it's all said and done, it then reflects badly back on us, because now everybody paints us with the same brush. So when it comes to shared responsibility, we are saying we want to root out the criminal element, and we want app companies that are going to do the right thing. They can't just falsely commit to correctly vetting everybody, and they don't vet everybody.
Okay, I get you there.
You get me?
Yeah.
So now, speaking from a business perspective, right, we are major contributors to a number of sectors. In fact, the last time we did a research, when we did some numbers, we found that within the Gauteng economy, e-hailing contributes more to the fiscus than agriculture does. So this is an industry that's rather large and commands a fair amount of attention. So in doing this research, we also engage with your financial services providers. You know, we spend an arm and a leg on insurance. We spend an arm and a leg on fuel, vehicle maintenance. You know, we impact several industries, but, you know, even those industries haven't been kind to us. You know, we've got drivers who have been in accidents, who have been robbed, and their claims were not approved. They'll turn around and say, we require this permit in order to approve that claim. But the Department of Transportation hasn't been issuing those permits. And then we ask ourselves, why did you agree to insure us in the first place if you're going to turn around and surprise us with these terms and conditions at claim stage?
Yeah.
So, you know, and then the other thing that we're worried about is that, you know, currently the repossession rate within industry is extremely high. And this then impacts families. You know, many families who are seeking to empower their children are turning towards the Uber or the e-hailing industry. Let me say that.
Yeah.
Based on the false promises, if you look on a lot of social media platforms, Bolt is constantly advertising saying earn 8,000 rand a week driving for Bolt. Nobody has earned 8,000 rand a week in at least 4 years. So this continues to be false advertising. So they are selling people a lie. They must show us, and they must allow us to audit the people who they show to be earning 8,000 rand a week. I'd love to meet them. I've been in industry for 5 years, and I can't tell you the last time I counted 8,000 rand.
With everything that you're saying in mind, what are the key things that you guys are trying to, some of the key objectives that you guys are trying to get out of Bolt? And then the second thing is, can I confirm that Uber is not part of the strike action?
No, Uber is very much part of the strike action, right? So this is leg one. We've been addressing the devil that is Bolt. Leg two will announce when we are going to Uber's office. So we want to make sure that this transportation month, that the e-hailing community is well heard. You see, the issues that I'm bringing to the forefront are not exclusive to Bolt only. These are issues that are available that are across both platforms. It's just we've decided to address Bolt first because we find Bolt to be the most notorious app at the moment.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So Bolt, I think, poses the biggest danger to black lives with how they behave. Now, Bolt has recently launched a platform called Bolt Go. What this essentially then does is that it reduces our trip per kilometer from 7.50 to 5.50. Now, for years, and I'm sure the media fraternity can confirm that we've been saying 7.50 is far too low. You know, we're not making any money. So how then Bolt responds is by dropping prices. And not only are they dropping prices, they're dropping it when we're trying to recover from the devastating effect of COVID-19. You know, because e-hailing isn't regulated and there aren't proper structures, there were no interventions to help us through that period. We're literally on our own. Now we're trying to emerge and recover, and then you go and you reduce the cost of our services to 5.50 per kilometer. And then on that 5.50, you're still taking 4% booking fee, an additional 20% app usage fee. So we're retaining less than 2 rand on that per kilometer charge, right? To further compound the issue, they will run promotions. So a driver will take a trip, let's call it a 10-kilometer trip. At the end of the trip value is, let's say, 70 rand. The app will then say, collect 1 rand from the rider, and then Bolt will subsidize the difference. They'll pay it to you following week. Following comes that payment is never effected.
And how long is that?
It's been going on for quite some time, you know? And I mean, if they're going to then continue with this, they must at least say, they must pay us up front, or they must give us a choice whether we want to partake in this promo that they're offering or not. But we can't continue to subsidize it. Already we're struggling to make means end, and then you want us to subsidize your promo, and we're not even sure to what end or how long this promo will run for.
Whilst I have you on the phone, we spoke to the Uber team earlier on, and they actually said that they find it a bit confusing that you are speaking on behalf of Uber drivers, because they say that you haven't been on the system or a driver. I'll just read to you exactly what they said. They said, we are aware of an individual known as Vatuka Mbelengwa who is not an active Uber driver and has not used the Uber app in 3 years. He cannot speak for Uber, and we struggle to understand how he can speak for so many diverse drivers who use Uber.
No, I've received that statement. 702 sent it to me as well before I went on air with them today, and they gave me the platform to respond to it, you know. And while on air, somebody called in to say, no, Mr. Mbelengwa represents our needs. Mr. Mbelengwa is one of us, right? So for me personally, I've been unable to continue driving on the Uber platform. I feel that Uber targeted me. I would go online and I would not receive requests. So I would sit, I'd go to hotspots, I'd be online for up to 8 hours and not even get a single request. So it then becomes a futile exercise for me to continue to go on to the Uber platform. Now, I think you need to understand my position. My position is not to speak for Uber drivers. I speak for the e-hailing community. I am deployed by operators across all platforms, whether it be Uber, Bolt, InDriver.
So with that in mind, why would they have targeted you?
Well, look, it's their platform, right? And I've been vocal about the role or the destruction Uber has been exerting over our lives. And I think I started becoming vocal when at the height of the meter taxi attacks on us, right? Now, you can check it. This is on public record. I spoke at the Competition Commission. I made verbal and written submission there. I spoke at the Land Transformation Amendment Bill Act. I've got written and vocal verbal submission there. And my submissions are available on all those websites. I've spoken in Parliament. I have spoken on several platforms representing drivers, major public platforms, you know. This is a campaign to try delegitimize me. I guess the truth I speak just has a little bit too much truth in it.
Are you able to then confirm how many drivers have taken part in the action today or this week? Because just talking to both Bolt and Uber, they have both stated that a very small set of drivers have actually taken part. Uber saying that their drivers are not involved, but Bolt saying that there's a very small number of drivers that have actually taken part in the action. Are you able to just quantify the number of drivers that actually took part?
Yes. So what we then do, right, we encourage drivers to mainly be offline, not necessarily to participate in the strike action on the street, right? Because what then happens when we are striking? Tomorrow we're going to wake up and have drivers blocked, because what they then do, both Uber and Taxify alike, they'll deploy people to go write down number plates for people participating in the strike, and then tomorrow those drivers are no longer able to log on and do their work or try source work. So what we firstly encourage is for drivers to stay offline. Now, how you measure the impact of this, right? Even yourself, if you have these apps, when you are mid-strike, try request an Uber and see what the cost of a trip is. So if a typical trip that would cost you 50 Rand will then cost you 500 Rand, this shows you that there isn't vehicles available on the platform. So this has been the situation on both apps all day. There's been a shortage of vehicles, not only in Gauteng, even got reports out of Cape Town that there's a shortage of vehicles in Cape Town, got reports out of KZN. So we've got national consensus and a growing national consensus. So as we move towards the taxi lehotla, it's when we are also finalizing how we'll be formalizing a recognized structure, a structure recognized by government, which can then begin to correctly capture details, capture numbers, so we can measure the impact. But currently the app in itself is our measuring instrument, and we think today has been a very successful action. Many people were unable to use the platform. Many drivers simply chose to stay at home because they fear being victimized by Uber and Bolt afterwards.
So in terms of the engagements with the two companies, you said the campaign is starting with Bolt. Has there been a written submission to Bolt management? Has there been some type of handover of demands? What is going on that front?
Yes, so there's been several written documents from several associations nationally that have been submitted to Bolt. Bolt has refused to engage with us up until this point. So what they've agreed to today is that tomorrow we can bring in blocked drivers, and then they will begin to block drivers. So all along, drivers have been getting blocked without any platform to represent or any right of reply. They'll simply wake up, try log on, and they'll receive a message saying, you have been permanently blocked off the Bolt platform. And we don't think this is right, considering the amount of money it takes for somebody to join that platform. People are buying vehicles, taking five year finance agreements, and then because some dispute happened or somebody partook in a strike, you can't simply just block them without giving them a right to reply.
You said that you're going after management at Uber following engagements with Bolt. Are you limiting the engagements to these two companies alone, or are you also going to go to InDriver as well?
No, InDriver, we don't really have much disputes or complaints with in driver. The two devils of the day is Uber and Bolt.
So by the end of this month and all the engagements, what are some of the tangible things that you'd like to see happening in terms of action points? We've spoken a lot in this conversation, but just some of the top items that you guys want to see actually happening, whether around block drivers, the reputation, safety, health, all of that. What are some of the top action items that you guys want, you know, possibly immediately to be addressed? Because I'm sure some of the things are more long term, but like in the immediate, what are you concerned with?
Okay, in the immediate, we are concerned with, firstly, I think, let me speak to safety. We believe that both driver and rider alike deserve safety. You know, everybody who gets into a vehicle must be safe. Every driver driving people around should not pose a threat or a risk. Everybody deserves safety. So I think as a matter of joint concern from us as drivers and the public that uses these platforms, safety must come above all else. Two, we want to establish platforms where joint decision making is put on the table. We can no longer allow Uber or Bolt to manage our investment because they are reckless with managing our investment. We need to be involved in joint decision making. Three, you know, we're just hoping for a bit of decency from these apps. We are hoping for a bit of consideration. You know, they may describe themselves as tech companies, but there's a very real human element. And anything that requires or that has such high human engagement requires a level of decency, you know. You know, something one assumes should be made available. But in this instance, we have to demand this decency. Tomorrow, if Bolt truly does commit and honor their commitment to unblocking drivers, we'll consider that an amazing win. And going forward, we hope that they will be there. They will allow for proper consultation in any matters of dispute. And I myself, Patuka Mbelengwa, have been requested by drivers to ensure that I, with a team of other people, oversee that this mediation is correctly done.
With that in mind, the other thing we want to maybe get a sense from yourself is when it comes to regulations, are drivers seeking simply our regulations and firm rules just around how the apps operate and the relationship between drivers and the operators, or are drivers also seeking to become full-time registered employees?
You see, that's a very tricky dialogue, but I think, firstly, effective regulation will then dictate how the relationship is governed, right? So there's many layers here. You've got app companies, you've got driver partners, you've got vehicle partners. So drivers don't necessarily own the vehicles, and vehicle owners don't necessarily drive. So it's a bit of a layered relationship. So as to whether employment responsibility sits, then it opens up a dialogue to a whole nother dimension. You see, unlike other countries, you know, South Africans and access to vehicle finance tends to be a bit tricky. So in South Africa, with our dynamics, those who can have access to vehicles then finance these vehicles and lease the vehicles out to people who want to operate on these platforms. And those who operate pay a weekly rental fee on those vehicles, right? So then there's the app who has a part responsibility to the driver. Then there's the vehicle owner who has a part responsibility. And then there's the app who should then also have a part responsibility to vehicle owners. So it's a very dynamic, layered relationship, and we need to begin to clearly define what responsibility falls upon who at which stage.
And then lastly, in terms of the engagements that you guys are doing, you said earlier on that there are a number of different associations that have been engaging with the companies. So in terms of, I guess, a center or a way forward, drivers, how have they collected each other? How have they organized each other? Is there one party or one, you know, organization from which you are speaking, or do you speak from the side of one of the associations?
Look, as it stands, I think I speak on behalf of all the associations. I'm often called upon by all the associations to speak on their behalf whether it is a small regional problem or whether it's a national mandate they're trying to execute. In terms of associations, we're in the process of finding a way to amalgamate. We are looking at soon launching one official structure that will be, that would have a lot of tech support that would allow us to engage with drivers wherever they are all over the country. So we're developing those solutions as we speak. Unfortunately, we are self-funding these processes. So it is a bit slow because as it stands, we already don't have any money. So we are trying by all means to raise the money to make sure we can launch soon.
No, thank you so much, Vatuka. We really appreciate your time.
All right. And then as a parting shot, right, you know, the big picture for us is to see or for us to engage in dialogues with all transportation stakeholders so we can find a way to ensure that technology or fourth industrial revolution solutions unify us. I think it's important that we learn from what we've experienced in the past 5-6 years as Uber and Bolt have been gaining momentum in their operations. And thus far, technology has been highly divisive. Too many lives have been lost as a result of how Uber and Bolt have engaged and implemented their apps within South Africa. And I think as investors and as people who have an interest in making sure that no man is left behind as a result of technology, we should really begin to sit and engage and ensure that we are all pursuant of a unifying vision that can see a more efficient transportation sector emerge.
No, thank you so much, man.